on overall consumption. But we do feel that it is, it will help in reducing the consumption, and we feel that reducing that consumption will help in our efforts to combat some of the impacts that this state feels tremendously with the use of alcohol. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will conclude my remarks.
What is your budget at the present time on an annual basis?
On an annual basis, my overall total budget is roughly $21 million.
And what percentage of that is general fund monies?
About 12%.
12%. The balance is federal monies?
No, sir. 86%, about 85% overall is mental health trust lands monies.
Mental health.
And then approximately 4 or 5% would be federal.
I see. Representative Porter, do you have a question?
No. Yeah, I knew that. Mm-hmm.
Several times we've talked about that. I know that Representative Porter listened to the testimony. I believe sometime next week the House Task Force on Alcohol and Alcohol Abuse report will be issued.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be of some information to this committee.
Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lauren, is there any statistical information that translates or verifies your supposition that increased price will result in decreased usage?
Some information that we produced based on the taxable gallons reported by the Department of Revenue and also based on the U.S. consumption. And you can see here that in 1981, Alaska's per capita consumption was 4.1 gallons. It continued above 4 until 83. We raised the tax in 83, and this is the line since 83.
How does that track with the population?
The population has actually gone up, but the amount of alcohol actually has gone down, and I believe I think the Department of Revenue would have the actual tax figures, but I believe in 84, the state collected roughly $14 million in excise taxes. In 1993, I believe the state was down to slightly right around $11 million in taxes.
Mm-hmm. Representative Mulder?
If I could follow up on that, Lauren. Your supposition is that we put the tax and consumption down. What about, do you think like DWI, tougher DWIs get enacted about that point in time?
There were some changes in the statutes around drunk driving. There was also increased prevention activities in the schools. Drug-free schools money came in from the federal government. Prevention among kids and knowledge for adults is a comprehensive package of information. This alone wasn't the total answer, but we can certainly track it back to that as a start of the decline. And we think it had a significant part to play, along with tougher DWI laws, tougher sentencing, some expansion in treatment and prevention activities, knowledge of people, change in lifestyles, people trying to be healthier for lots of other reasons, but we think that this did contribute.
I guess my only point is, Mr. Chairman, I've always been intrigued with that concept, and I think there is a point to which it holds true, but we've seen a general increase in price of alcohol through recent years, and I really don't see that we've had that great of impact in terms of reduction throughout our society. I think there is a certain point, but I think that point is far higher than what any tax we're proposing here. And if our point is to really deter alcohol, we probably are looking at the wrong end of the horse. I mean, if the point is to raise revenue, that's a different issue. But if the point is to deter alcohol use, I think that there perhaps are better ways of going about it.
Chairman, I think that if this was the only tool, I think I would tend to agree. But I think in combination with others, this does have enough of an impact that it is measurable. And with others, it does continue, and it does form a good core of some good public policy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lauren. Moving on, Glenn Ray.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, I did a little figuring while right before Lauren stepped up here, and with the proposed increase in liquor that the governor has proposed, it would move Alaska as the first, the highest rated tax of any state in the country in terms of the amount of tax per gallon on liquor.
I believe we already are.
Right now, we're kind of in the middle of the pack, but it would also, for wine, it would place us seventh, and for beer, it places us fourth nationally.
All right. We've always wanted to be a leader.
We're first in a lot of work
categories. Glenn, go ahead, please.
Yes, Glenn Ray, representing the Division of Public Health. Division of Public Health enthusiastically supports the House Bill 413 for the purpose of reducing the burden of disease caused by tobacco use. Causal links exist between tobacco use and stroke, cancers of the mouth, throat, esophagus, cancers of the larynx, coronary heart disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, lung cancer, pancreatic cancer, ulcer, bladder cancer, peripheral artery disease, cervical cancer, low birth weight, baby risk, to name just a few. Every year, 435,000 deaths are attributable to tobacco use. That is more than the sum of all the deaths that can be attributed to alcohol, car accidents, AIDS, suicides, homicides, fire, and drugs. Tobacco is a drug that, when used directed, will kill 1 out of 3 long-term users and disable many more. Tobacco is addictive as heroin and cocaine. In 1992, this is Alaska figures, survey results indicate that 28% of Alaska adults, and for this survey purpose, it's 18 years or older was a designation of adult, smoked tobacco. It is estimated that 39% or more of the Alaska Native adults smoke. Alaska is one of the highest prevalent rates of smoking in the country, ranking within the top 3, along with Tennessee and Kentucky. From data of 1989, which is the most recent that the Section of Epidemiology has to work with, of the 2,092 deaths of Alaskans in 1989, 17% of those were attributable to smoking-related. Among Alaskans who died in 1989 at the age of 35 to 64 years, smoking attributable years of potential life lost were estimated at 1,446 person years, and that equates to an average loss of life of 9.6 years per person. The smoking attributable cost to Alaskans, and this is figured with a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention formula, and that is generated from the Section of Epidemiology. The total smoking attributable cost for Alaskans 35 years or more in 1989 was $83 million. That's 49.1 million dollars in lost productivity and $34 million in health care costs. The jobs that the tobacco industry would purport in saving are not in its industry. It is in the health industry that they would most assuredly save by keeping the tax at the present level. With that said, the reason for the Division of Public Health enthusiastic support for increasing the tax on tobacco is that nearly 90% smokers start smoking before the age of 21. Although there have been dramatic gains in recent decades in the campaign against tobacco, usage among youth continues to be a public health epidemic. Every day, more than 3,000 American teenagers become regular smokers. Affordability of tobacco appears to be the most significant determinant in terms of the number of children who start smoking. An increase in cigarette tax may be the most effective approach to reducing tax use among teenagers. Teenagers are much more responsive than adults to increases of price of cigarettes because they have less disposable income and may be 3 times more sensitive to price increases as adults. Also, teenagers are less addicted than many adult smokers and therefore are likely to be able to stop. Data compiled in the United States, Canada, California, and the United Kingdom indicate that for every 10% increase of the inflation-adjusted price of tobacco, a general consumption rate will fall of 4%. But significantly in the youth population, that rate will fall by 10%. In 1989, California voters approved Citizens Initiative to raise their tax, cigarette tax by 25 cents. Cigarette smoking dropped by 17% between 89 and 91. Tobacco taxes are proven to discourage usage among youth, and in the short term decrease the number of adult addicted individuals, and in the long term decrease the burden of health costs for the governments that must eventually bear this burden. American taxes, tobacco taxes, are among the lowest percentage of the total price in virtually any country in the world. In Denmark, the tax, and this is per pack of 20, in Denmark, the tax is $3.68, and that represents a tax to price ratio of 85%. In India, it's 63%. The cost is only 84, so the ratio is 75%. In Canada, the high average, because it differs from province to province like it would in the United States from state to state, the high average is $3.69 of a tax, which is a ratio of 72 cents. The United States average is 56 cents per tax, per pack of cigarettes, and it's a ratio of only 30%. With a tax of 29 cents on a package of cigarettes, Alaska ranks 26th in the among the other 50 states. And by raising the tax to 43 cents, it only raises us to 10th among other states in the country. Taxing tobacco is good public policy, and the Division of Public Health encourages your support of this bill.
Thank you, Glenn. Moving on then, Paul Dick from Revenue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Paul Dick. I'm with the Department of Revenue. As outlined in our fiscal note, House Bill 413 would increase excise taxes on cigarettes, liquor, wine, and beer by 50%, and it would double the current excise tax on tobacco. We've calculated out the additional revenues that this bill would generate based on FY93 consumption, knowing that there may be some impact with the tax on decreasing consumption, perhaps. Also, there may be increased populations, but based on FY93 information, the additional tax raise from House Bill 413 would be just under $15 million. And each one of those components are outlined in the fiscal note and summarized in there. I'd be glad to answer any questions you may have on revenue matters pertaining to the bill.
We will entertain just a short question, if we could, Ryan, because we're being kicked out of this room.
That was $15 million increase, not total.
That'd be an increase. Yeah.
$43 million total, $43.7 million.
For all increases,
right.
Like all tobacco,
for all
cigarettes,
all
wine, beer.
Right.
I'm going to have to, at this time, to give my apologies to Risa and Lenny and those others. Rick, we've been kicked out of the room here, so we'll have to discontinue this, and it's now a little bit after 5 p.m., and we're going to go ahead and adjourn at this time. We hereby adjourn. Well, we got to start.
Yeah.
You've been 86, right?
Yeah.
In the vernacular.
Yeah. Hotel.
That's funny.
Hey, Bill. There are some pretty good stays that you got.
No comment.
Okay. Favor.
I know. There are some really good studies if you watch State City Price.
Convinced there is. I can remember when they raised movies from 25 cents to 35 cents. And I was like, boy, I just stopped going.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I couldn't afford that
extra
dime.
Well, you see Canada, when they raised it, they went from, what, $1.50 or $3.75 or something like that?
Yeah.
Youth consumption is just right to the floor.
Oh, we'll get it, Bill. Thank you.
Hey, there they are again. The Bellingham Blitzers.
Boy, can't hide in this town. I mean, where you go, you see somebody you know.
See you guys.
We're being chased out of here. See, so.
Sorry, you guys.
That's all right. Thank you for being so kind. Yeah. So, is everybody going to go on the trip down south?
Everyone except Richard. Richard came up with that.
Oh,
never.
We're the only agenda out of most places.
Right. 7:30 in the morning. We'll sit over here and see what the body is. Right. Sunday morning. 5:15.
That would take the appropriate notes, huh?
I don't have any of the amendments, but I think I know what they are. Okay, I gave my amendments away, but I think I remember what they are.
Oh, those three that were printed?
Yeah, thank you.
Because I have those in the library.
I think Sue. I think he doesn't use them.
I have a Walking County walk.
Sure.
All right.
Gary, Gary, Gary.
That's true, it's true, it's true. You see ya. You see ya.